Two Guys, One Rail Podcast.
G'day, guys. Welcome back to the Two Guys, One Rail Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin.
And I'm Anthony.
And we are here to do our review on Karate Kid Legends.
Starring Ralph Macchio, Jackie Chan, Ming-Na Wen, and yeah, it was a really, really good film, Kev.
Oh, it was. It was a film that was actually unexpectedly pretty well, and a very crowded theater when we went.
Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah, we went and saw it at Village Cinemas in Werribee, and what I would describe as a very small cinema. And yeah, this cinema was packed.
Yeah, absolutely. With multiple different variety of people from young to old. We're all here to see this. And yeah, it was really good. So. Really good feel.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to see people getting out to the movies, you know. Like, walking in, we thought that they're all there for Lilo and Stitch.
Yes, this one had to match up with Lilo and Stitch, Ballerina, and a couple others. But I think this one was, the must-see, actually.
Yeah, very much so. I think there's a lot of nostalgia with the Karate Kid films. So, it's, as you said, young and old. Very much attracted to this film.
Absolutely. This film, I believe, is for all of all ages, and rightly so. But speaking of nostalgia, Anthony, I went down the nostalgia train for this movie.
The Wayback Machine, Kev.
Wayback Machine, that's right. It is, yes, it was a journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kev went down the marathon route.
Well, I wanted to be refreshed on what was happening. I do remember the Karate Kid, the 1984 film.
Yep.
Fairly well, as does most people, but I knew there was more into it, like with the Cobra Kai series and a couple others that just one that I didn't particularly see when I was younger, which was the next Karate Kid.
Yeah, I didn't see that either. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Yeah, but in saying that, though, it was a very good journey, and it was, while doing it, I did it over several days, which it gets a bit to the point of what, you know, it starts to melt the mind a little bit.
Yeah, you would have had the Karate Kid theme smack bang in your head.
Yes, absolutely. So I just wanted to touch briefly about the older movies, because they tie in very well with the new one, actually.
Yes.
So as everyone knows, with Karate Kid 1984, then Karate Kid Part 2 1986, and then Karate Kid Part 3 1989. So with these movies, I found very particularly that, one, I felt like I was watching the same movie over and over again.
Yeah, the same themes, same kind of stories. Yeah.
But in saying that, though, what I also, at the end of the first three, was that actually I wasn't watching a movie about Daniel LaRusso.
No.
I was actually watching a movie about Mr. Miyagi's journey.
Yeah.
Which I found to be very eye-opening when I watched it from that point of view, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically watching how he has patience to be able to teach someone.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, coming off of being a war hero and all that does weighed on him.
Yeah, because in the films you learn that Miyagi was in the Korean War.
Yep.
And he has pretty evident post-traumatic stress from it. And it's also in parts of the films you see that he turned to alcohol for comfort.
Yep.
Yeah.
He also blames himself for not for losing the love of his life, basically.
That's correct, yeah.
But in the second part two, he kind of rectifies that. He went back to Okinawa to visit his dying father.
Yes.
Which then he runs into his best friend, who he thought was married to the love of his life.
Yeah, and he became an adversary.
Which was it was funny. In a way, because when he goes there, it's just straight away just anger. Like with all these, what I found with the older Karate Kids movie, everyone is so angry.
Yeah.
Everyone's just angry and pissed off about something.
It's a running theme in all the films.
Yes. And in part two, though, I felt like this guy was just so pissed off.
Yeah.
He was so pissed off that Mr. Miyagi left him when he was supposed to fight him for honor. And he left. He hung on to this anger for so long. And I'm just like, man, let it go.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny. Daniel even says something like that. He's just like, what the hell? He's just like, gets it. And it's straight away. He's like, what's going on? You know, it's like, even himself, he's just like, ah, this is crazy. But, you know, different traditions.
Yeah, that's right. And like obviously, because when Miyagi's father dies, him and Sato, they have an agreement where Sato allows him to mourn
For 3
for a
days.
period. Yeah, exactly. And then you obviously see the transpired events that happen after that, where they come together in the face of a very terrible storm. And that's the theme in these themes as well, that there's someone who's the enemy or adversary ends up becoming a fierce ally.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny how just a storm create, well, I guess if you look at the bigger picture, it's just that Daniel runs out to save the little girl, and then the guy realizes it's more to life than just having anger
Yeah, that's right.
and
And
all this.
holding on to, exactly, holding on to it. Yeah.
Well, his younger protege that he was it his nephew that he didn't just he basically says he's dead to him or something like that, because he leaves
Yeah.
him. His nephew says that he's dead when he's not. And
Yeah.
yeah, he was going to leave them there to die, which I don't think he would have died realistically. These
But
are old
he,
films, man.
yeah, and he dishonored the family,
Yes,
obviously.
just basically, it's about mostly about dishonor.
Yeah. And then, like, obviously, you see the events play out. They return to America, and then Karate Kid
Oh,
3.
yes, going, they get literally off the plane,
Yeah.
and straight away there's a psycho that wants to kill, but almost literally wants to kill Daniel.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there going, let it go.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai needs to let it go.
And again, because Kreese, focal character in the first one, to pick up where they left off in the first movie in number three, and then to see it all come to a head where, Miyagi trains Daniel through adversity and teaches him to confront his doubts, his fears, and because he says to him he's afraid, and he doesn't think he can win the All Valley tournament. And Miyagi, I mean, they almost have like a period of time where they're conflicted because Daniel's trying to do certain things and it's against the wishes of Miyagi, and they almost have like a falling out. But then when Daniel realizes that he's going about everything the wrong way, everything's falling apart, and that's when he goes to Miyagi and tells him that basically he's got it all wrong, that he's sorry, and that he needs him to train him.
With all three of these movies, what I found really interesting is how they shot the intros,
Yeah.
which plays well with the new one. Because with the other ones, they shot them after the Karate Kids, so the second one, they kind of do like a recap of what happened.
Yeah, kind of like a small flashback.
When it plays on from that flashback, and then they play on to into the movie, it transitions very smoothly,
Yeah.
which is really well done. But then when it got to the part three, they did the recap again, but they kept playing the same recap
Yeah, from like the
from
events.
part
Yeah,
one.
or the start of number two.
And it's just like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Daniel Russo won and all that sort of stuff. But three was a wild ride. For me, it was emotionally, I was laughing, I was getting angry, and I'm just like,
Yeah.
it was crazy because, like I said, this psychopath, Silva, the ponytail guy, he's just so adamant of destroying Daniel. For
Exactly.
and what I liked was Daniel even said to the champion that Silver hires to beat Daniel, that is literally is trying to kill him to sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, Mike
Daniel
Barnes.
even says to him, I
Good
don't care
point.
about the title. Here, take it. Just go take it. But no, because Barn actually has to fight him to get the title.
Yeah, he wants to beat defeat him. Yeah.
It's like, God, man, even Daniel himself's like, this is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like that. It was pretty clever. With Karate Kids 1, 2, and 3, they are really well done with themselves. And because they are old 80 films, the choreography wasn't the greatest, of course.
Of course.
Well,
Pat
Pat,
Morita, yeah.
yeah, Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi, he is basically a one-man army that everyone's petrified of. And
Yeah.
it's really cool. So, and going into the next Karate Kid, it sort of plays well with the others. They don't do a recap on this one, and it basically just goes into Mr. Miyagi visiting Julie's grandmother, who's played by Hilary Swank. Well, Julie's played by Hilary Swank. So he visits her grandmother because she's having trouble with Julie herself. So Julie's a troubled teenager, and her parents have died. She blames herself, and she's just angry, as is everyone else in the series. And so Mr. Miyagi comes along to help her deal with her anger and teach her to, it's not her fault. She needs to, you know, let it go. But then Julie is actually harassed at school, which I don't know if they're a gang. Are they supposed to be the, like, the school security team? I don't know, because I think they're like the hallway monitors at some point, because they're there to tell kids to go to classes and stuff like that.
But they're targeting her.
Yeah, they're targeting her and basically anyone. They're just big bullies, but they like run the school.
So there's that power go to their heads.
Oh, yeah. And their leader is Michael Ironside.
Oh, geez. He's a good actor.
Who plays Colonel Duggan. So he's basically got a military background.
Yeah.
As most of these bad guys in the Karate Kid series, with Creasy being a military veteran as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's, and also there's appearances from Walton Goggins, who plays a guy named Charlie.
Oh, wow.
So he's one of the, in part of this gang. The main antagonist is Michael Claveri, who plays this guy named Ned, who I think likes Julie, but he comes off very aggressive and very, just very full on. For the time, I think men were portrayed, bad guys were portrayed that way.
Yeah.
So, like, these old films will have no problem with men hitting women.
Yeah, in the 90s, there was a lot of that.
It was, I was shocked. I was like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, and there's, authority does not live in this universe.
No.
I'm putting it out there. Police,
yeah, I think you've said that a lot, too. I think you said, there's no police.
In the next Karate Kid, there is police.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've seen him, but they don't do anything.
Yeah.
So they believe the gang over Julie, because she's a troubled teenager that's always in trouble, which that is a very undertoning of the time too.
I think that's a very common theme though, that runs through like these 90s, 2000s. Yeah, like there's a lot of that.
With those Karate Kids, they go into the Cobra Kai series.
Yes.
And I did not sit down for 6 seasons to watch that.
I did.
Well, you probably watched it as it came out.
Yeah, I watched it kind of as it came out and then dabbled. And yeah.
So I didn't watch it at all. I was like, I'll get around it. Then I saw 6 seasons. I'm like, no. No. So I watched a recapping of this series, which was about 40 minutes.
Yep.
And do you know what? To be honest, I'm kind of glad I didn't watch the whole series. In a way, like, I feel like it does have its own charm.
Yep.
It's not it's no way a terrible series, because it's very popular. It had 6 seasons, so it's very successful.
Oh, very much so.
But I just feel like from coming off the movies that I just watched to feeling that I watched the same movie 4 times in a row, I wasn't going to sit down and watch something that I felt I was going to watch. I was just watching it over again. But it does have depth, and I know it does have character development, which is great.
I mean, like, going along with that, I mean, considering you did the marathon that you did, the fact that I watched the series, how they basically sought to restore the reputation of Johnny. And you see how basically him and Daniel's lives kind of just went completely different directions, where Daniel became this successful person. And obviously he'd grown up with the influence of Miyagi, and after Miyagi had died, Daniel went on to marry, to have children, to become a successful car salesman, whereas Johnny went completely the other way, and he became unemployed. He had a son who he is estranged from. He's lost his partner, and he's like got no prospects. He's living in a motel. He's an alcoholic, and he's very aggressive. He's got no hope for his life.
I did see snippets of that where he's just, which that kind of follows on to Creasy, Creasy's sort of storyline too.
Yeah, it's kind of relatable.
Yes.
Yeah. But then obviously when the idea comes along because that's how Daniel finds Johnny has started a new Cobra Kai. And obviously he seeks to stop it at all costs. But that's where we discover Daniel's children go to school with Johnny's son. Mm-hmm. And you see the rivalry develop between the kids and how they're dealing with the pressures of school life. And then one by one, you meet the characters that they're kind of involved with, and then obviously the conflict that's kept brewing for decades between Daniel and Johnny, and like the fact that Daniel wants him to shut down the Cobra Kai at all costs. But as you said, these movies and series are all about nostalgia too.
Yes.
And so we see characters that we got to know in the original films pop up in the series. Mm-hmm. And so like the fact that you see Hallie, you see what was his name? The bad guy in Karate Kid 2.
I forgot his name too.
He's in it. And obviously the fact that when they first meet, they're not sure about each other, but then they become allies.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Kreese reappears and Silver. Yep. And they basically pick up where they left off, wanting to make Cobra Kai their own and dominate all over California and, you know.
And other countries as well, because I think
at
one point in the season, Daniel goes to, was it China?
Yeah, he goes. Yeah.
And he gets attacked by a gang of Cobra Kai people there as well.
Yeah, so like
they're everywhere.
Yeah, and so the fact that it's a running theme.
Yeah,
there's always, no matter how much they go ahead, they get knocked back, and there's always something that goes wrong.
Mm.
And leading in to this film, Karate Kid Legends.
Mm.
We walked into this movie thinking, oh, maybe there's a connection, because coming off the success of the series,
mm-hmm.
you would have thought that they'd tap into that success. Yeah. But the fact that this is branched off to join the worlds created with Karate Kid, with Jaden Smith and so Jackie Chan.
Yeah, so this one comes in with the Karate Kid 2010.
Yeah.
As Jack Chan plays Mr. Han and Jaden Smith plays Dre. With this one, this one plays off there. It's basically almost a one-to-one of the Karate Kid, the 1984, in its own way. I feel like it was supposed to be a reboot.
Yeah.
And I think it was portrayed that way.
That's what I perceived it as.
I think it was, like, because when I watched it, I was like, okay, this is now the fifth Karate Kid movie that I've just watched. That's basically the same. It does follow the same tropes, as we said. Kid moves to a different town, moves from the Bronx to Beijing, where he meets Mr. Han, played by Jackie Chan. And this film does come off as like, it's just as Mr. Han being the new Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
And it plays very well, like almost to the same as what they do sort of thing. But with this one, Mr. Han has a troubled past because he had a car accident with his family in it, and he was the only one that survived.
Yeah.
And so what he does every year is he rebuilds his car and then he destroys it on the anniversary.
Yeah, and see, in mentioning that, there's no mention at all that this is someone who knew Miyagi.
Yes.
This is not someone, we don't learn anything, any real backstory apart from the fact that he lost his family.
That's right. And there's no Cobra Kai in this world.
No. Nope.
In this story, there's no Cobra Kai. There's nothing that relates to that. Yeah, there's no mentioning of anything of the Karate Kid, of Daniel LaRusso or Mr. Miyagi.
But we see the same kind of theme where the tournament featured in the film and the adversarial karate, what would you call them? Basically, Jaden Smith is obviously with Mr. Han.
Yeah.
But the other kids who are fighting, they're in like a very corrupted, very regimented karate group.
Yes.
And yeah, like brutal.
Yeah, they're toughly trained and they're taught to basically cause pain, which relates to the Cobra Kai's.
Yeah, like and, no mercy.
Yeah, basically no mercy and all that sort of stuff. And it does play on the same with Dre getting hit in his leg is the same as the first one.
Yeah.
So it does play very close to it. But in saying that, though, now with leading into Karate Kid Legends, we do have a connection now.
Yes.
And so when this movie opens up, it opens up with the 19... the 1986, a part of the 19, so the Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah, that's right. When they're in Hong Kong.
Yes. So when they're at the Mr. Miyagi's dojo.
Yep.
And he's telling him, because Daniel, you see him as a kid, he's asking Mr. Miyagi, who's all the people on the wall? And Mr. Miyagi explains that these are his ancestors.
Yes.
Who trained in the Miyagi-Do karate.
And they talk about the significance and symbolism of his history. And so saying that the bonsai has two branches form part of the one tree.
Yes. Two different styles of martial arts, actually.
Yes. Kung Fu and karate.
Yes. Which is really good. And then you see when he's talking about it, and you see in a very artfully visual,
yeah,
which is very, really well done, I thought, was very, very good storytelling. You see Jackie Chan and Mr. Miyagi together.
Yeah, as they grew up together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's that ties in with the Jackie Chan and Mr. Miyagi. And with going on with that, so we'll basically just go a brief overview of this one, of the story. This one is basically, after moving to New York City with his mother, Kung Fu protege Li Feng struggles to let go of his past as he tries to fit in with his new classmates. When a new friend needs his help, Li enters a karate competition, but his skills alone aren't enough. With help from Mr. Han and Danny LaRusso, he soon learns to merge two styles into one for the ultimate martial arts showdown. What were your thoughts of this movie, Anthony?
Well, I think going into it, like how, as you said, it provided the backstory into how Han knew Miyagi.
Hmm.
And then, so when it opens up into present day and we meet Li Feng and he's in Beijing and he's part of Mr. Han's school. Mm-hmm. And we soon learn that, like Mr. Han, Li Feng's been involved in tragedy.
Yes.
And so he's got a very cautious mother played by Ming-Na Wen. And she's totally against him fighting. Mm. And so Mr. Han's kind of taking him on his under his wing and trying to help him develop. And so we meet him and he's practicing.
Yeah.
But like they're trying to keep it hidden from his mother, who's yes, a doctor.
That's right, yes. And it's very, very communicative with Jackie Chan's charm of how he teaches a young one to distract his mother to try to
very get comedic.
To get Lee to hide.
That's right.
Lee's mother is very smart.
Yeah, that's right.
She's not to be fooled easily, which is
great. That's right. Very perceptive.
And coming off with that opening shot, as you were talking about, they do have this art flow within the movie as well, which I found to be very, would you call it anime style?
Yeah, like anime, animation.
Yeah. They do like wording and action sort of stuff, like action words and stuff like that at some points in the movie.
Yeah.
But this one I thought was really well, and I'm very happy that they actually speak Mandarin.
Yeah. There's a mix.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
So I was actually how they touched in the part where, you know, being in, they have that language, which I find fantastic, you know, so that flows very well. But when Lee moves into New York City,
yeah, because obviously, touching on the fact that when his mother comes to the academy,
yep,
it's to tell him that they're moving to New York City because she's obtained a job as a doctor at a hospital there.
And so they move to New York City, and this is where, you know, Lee's out of his depth of obviously going to a new school, doesn't know what he's doing, and all that sort of stuff. And then he goes in, because they move into a new apartment, he goes to get some food, and he runs into his friend, who is Mia,
yeah,
played by Sadie Stanley.
Yep, and her dad, played by Joshua Jackson.
Victor.
Yes.
Who is a retired boxer, and they have opened up a pizza shop to make a living.
That's right.
And so they meet them, and it's quirky, and then she sort of helps Lee try to blend in.
And she's kind of a force herself. You know, she's kind of had to help her dad, you know, pick up the reins at the pizza shop. And him being a retired boxer, he's kind of like a, what would you say, a bit of a down and out kind of guy. And so he's kind of relegated to making pizzas for a living because we learn that when he last fought, he lost. He's never really revisited it. He's
No.
been reluctant to. Yeah, and like obviously he's still familiarizing himself with school and everything, and like the fact that he becomes fast friends with Mia.
Yes, and then we slowly learn with Mia has a problem X.
Yes, who's very aggressive.
Yes, who is Aramis Knight, who plays Connor Day.
Yeah, who's a very successful karate.
Karate champion of New York City.
Of the five boroughs.
Five boroughs, yep. So instead of the valley, it's the five boroughs.
Yeah. Yeah, there's go that running theme again, Kev.
Yes, and but at this point in the movie, I was just sitting there going, yep, this is going to be the sick Karate Kid movie I've seen. That, the same thing over and over again. But
predictable.
But in saying that, I was actually surprised at how they played with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't what I was fully expecting.
Yeah.
I was expecting the same sort of stuff. In ways, yes, it was, but in ways, it wasn't.
Yeah.
We won't go too much more into the depth at this point in the segment because there's a lot that goes into spoiler territory. In touching with things, how did you think the flow was? Did you think it was a slow start and then a great spoiler
finish? Like obviously they had to do their introduction, obviously, to Li Feng, and it was necessary for them to join both universes to establish how it's all connected. Yeah, like I still enjoyed it.
Oh yeah, this movie, to be honest, I feel like I was watching a behind the scenes and about the cast, like Jackie Chan and Ralph Macchio talking about the whole experience and everyone else as well. And Ralph Macchio touches on this well. He says this movie can go in two ways. So this movie can be perceived as a standalone.
Yeah.
After he said that, and I rethought about it, I'm like, yeah, he's right. If you haven't seen the old movies, this movie is still really well done. Like, you don't need to see them. It kind of stands on its own feet.
But it does help if you are familiar with the characters.
And he does say that. He says, if you are familiar with the whole series and watched everything, he goes, it will be more of a rewarding outcome for you.
Yes.
It's really well done. This movie, I felt, was what? The flow was really great, I found. When the fighting scenes happened, they were really well done. They were very highly choreographed, which I feel like is more of Jack Chan's team.
Yeah, his stunt history and everything. Yeah.
Absolutely, because you can tell the flow that Jackie has, because I've seen a lot of his movies, as most people who have seen martial arts movies, and you can tell how Jackie Chan's style is. He's fast, comedic at the same time.
Yeah.
And they do well. Even what I thought was really good is Ralph Macchio actually matching Jackie Chan.
Yeah, that's right. Like they didn't kind of outshine each other. They both have their reverence.
And I thought it was really well done because going back to the start of the early Karate Kids with Ralph Macchio, I felt like he was very slow.
Yeah.
The hits didn't seem to be... It's just basically watching a WWE match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just very badly choreographed. But that's the time.
But it's also like Daniel was always the reluctant hero, like the reluctant fighter. And he never wanted to really be in the fight. He always wanted to walk away.
Yeah.
And him being perceived to be a coward, and so it's kind of like, again, that adversity, overcoming your fears and that.
This movie is really, it really shines with that. I find that's the shining point is the choreography for me as well. It just the hits hit. Like I do believe they were actually getting hit. There was no like holding back sort of. I mean, they also obviously being a safety team, they know how to take hits, but I feel like the hits were actually hitting really well.
Yeah, so, I'm very obviously very well rehearsed and
absolutely.
Yeah.
The Li Feng's character is really cool. He's a really cool kid and a very good shine point for this film. And also there's something to add that this had a budget, apparently an estimated budget of $45 million.
Oh, so it should have easily surpassed it by now. Yeah.
So apparently the gross, the worldwide grossing is at 74 mil at the moment. So they've succeeded, and this movie shines and is a very well done movie. So
yeah, I think both of us were quite very impressed with it.
It was funny. Yeah. It's a very comedic.
We were all laughing. The whole cinema was laughing.
Yeah, the jokes hit, especially a particular scene with the training montage with Danny LaRusso and Mr. Han trying to teach Li Fong things, and they're just throwing him around like a rag doll.
Yeah, and obviously the very quick sequence we see of Han traveling to California, and he's like, "Oh, did you know Mr. Miyagi?" And like, it's very quick, you know, like I don't spend too much time on it.
No.
And he basically is beckoning him to come to New York City. And Daniel's like, again, like I talked about, the reluctance. He's like, "I'm not coming to New York City."
No.
Yeah. And then obviously you see Li Fong training with Mr. Han, and next thing, there comes Daniel.
That's right. And that was really a good touch. And also, I have a fun fact for you.
Oh, do tell.
Anthony. So a fun fact that I've read, was that Ralph Macchio was 63 years old at the time of this film's release.
Wow.
So he was actually 12 years older than Pat Morita when the Karate Kid 1984 was released.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't look that old, does he?
Yeah, because I was saying to you the other night how, like, when Daniel was when Ralph Macchio was playing Daniel in 1984, he was playing a teenager, and he was already in his 20s.
Which I found, like, in saying that, now that I think back, because the love interest in the original Karate Kid, I felt was way older than him.
Mm.
And I'm like, this is just, it's weird, like, because she's in a lot of the 80s films, like Cocktail and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, I was like, but I didn't think he was that old. I thought he was, like, early 20, like, just 20 years old or 19 or 18. No, he was older.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, he ages well, that guy.
Yeah, but, he has not escaped the world of Karate Kid. There's certain actors who have done a role, or they've done certain roles, and it follows them throughout their life. But you know what? He's made it work for him.
Yes, and he's over known for this to be Karate Kid. And he's successful. He's a successful guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the Cobra Kai TV series.
Which he helped produce. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's obviously, he's made a living. Rather than some of the other actors maybe have not.
Yeah, like he embraced it, whereas others would be reluctant.
Mm.
Yeah.
So we'll go into the rating now. So what would you rate this film, The Karate Kid Legends?
You know what? I'd give it a really strong 7.5 popcorn buckets.
7.5? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. Well, I'll give my rating of an 8 popcorn bucket.
There you go.
Right. It had the same formula of the originals. So you had the nostalgia feel, but it also had a new twist.
Yeah. We're pleasantly surprised with it.
Yes. It was very, it was executed. Film, karate, action, and comedy.
Yeah.
It's a movie for all ages, as we said at the start. It's a film that any generation can watch.
Definitely a family film.
Well, with that being said, we will go into the spoiler sections. But before we do, if you made it this far, thank you. And if you could, give us a rating. Tell us what you thought. Have you seen this? Do you still think it's the same old, or are you happy it is something new?
Yeah, tell us your memories about Karate Kid. You know, yes. What do you think?
Share a story. Did you watch the originals in the theaters? I did not. Did you see it in theaters?
I grew up with them, but definitely on TV.
You didn't. You didn't go to the theaters to see these when you were little. No.
No.
We're not that old.
You're not that old, mate. I was born in '84.
Ah, there you go. I was not too far behind you.
There you go.
So, but anyway, thank you so much. And also, yes. You can find us on all platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Apple. Yep, YouTube, Apple. And also check out our Facebook page under the same name,
Instagram.
Two Guys. Yeah, and Instagram under the same name, Two Guys, One Real Podcast. And with that being said, we will go into the spoilers section. Yeah, I was about to say see. Well, we will see you in the next one if you don't want to see the spoilers, but if you do, stick around. All right, we're going to spoilers now for Karate Kid. With the spoilers with this one, we're just going to touch on, as we touched on previously before, with, Li Fong, a.k.a. Stuff Crust.
Yeah, Stuff Crust, that's right. Stuff Crust. Yeah.
There you go. He got a nickname, Stuff Crust, for trying to order a Stuff Crust pizza when they didn't do it.
That's right.
As Mia's father joked around with him.
But he embraced it.
Yes, he did. He embraced it, and you see it often in the tournament side. But before we go into that, we'll talk about the one spoiler with this film is about with Li Fong in his tragedy with his brother.
Yeah, so obviously, we learned that when Li Fong's brother was stabbed to death, Mr. Han was there.
Yes.
And so he knows that Li has this trauma and that it makes him freeze up and know how to react.
Yeah, because what it was Li Fong and his brother were attacked after a tournament because Li Fong's brother won it.
Yeah.
So he won the tournament and then the guy who he beat didn't like it. So they came and cornered them, beat them up, and his brother got stabbed.
And obviously, Li blames himself for his brother's death.
Yeah, because his brother was calling out his name.
Yeah.
He was trying to get help from him, and he just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, he kind of froze up and didn't know how to react. And as a result, his brother died.
Yeah. And so Li holds on to this very, very heartfully. But it also leads on to with when he meets Mia, because we find out that Mia's dad, Victor, has an issue with the sort of a gang. They don't really say what their name was. And I saw pick up on the name, but the gym name, whatever. But the guy who runs the gym, who is Armis Knight, so Connor.
Yeah.
I'll refer to him as Connor now. So Connor, he's part of this gym, whatever. And they didn't really touch on the guy who runs it.
No, but he obviously has the criminal connections.
I think is it his father or his uncle?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's something like that. But yeah, anyway, so Victor owes money to the guy who runs the gym.
That's right. And they continually harass him to the point where we see them come basically to collect from Victor. And Li intervenes and actually saves his life.
Yeah, he beats up all the goons and Victor was like, you gotta teach me this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get like a sort of a sequence in the movie where Li is training Victor to sort of mix in the style of boxing and kung fu.
Yeah, obviously he's reluctant at first because he's saying that if he gets caught, he's going to get in trouble. And the fact that he then starts doing it, it's quite a comical sequence because we watch them at first failing to connect and then they certainly very quickly pick up and it's really entertaining. It's really funny. And obviously as kids we Joshua Jackson from Dawson's Creek and other stuff so seeing him in a comedic role is really fun. And he enhancing his skills, not only mixing boxing, but the one-inch punch, which he kind of perfected.
Yeah.
And obviously that, it's...
Yeah, that sequence when they do the boxing fight.
Yeah.
That with the one-inch punch, I thought was a little... Yeah, that was a little bit exaggerated, but...
Oh, yeah.
If
suspend your disbelief, people.
The guy goes flying across the ring, but it was good. It was good. It was a fun little box. It was interesting they chose the boxing sort of fighting style, which is very... You didn't see that much in the other films. So that's sort of a new twist, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and then, obviously, the fact that the end, that he ends up in hospital...
Yes, because he really gets killed. Because
he gets killed.
They do that trope with the other ones where the bad guy looks at his boxer and gives him the nod to basically kill him or whatever. And so he knocks him out very badly.
Yeah. And, which again, you just said, that trope has been in every Karate Kid film and series. And so it's a running theme.
Yes. And so, Ling then is the same. He gets sort of a flashback to his brother being needed to be rushed off to the hospital, and he kind of freezes again. And
he does.
Betrays Mia with her trust and stuff like that.
It creates an inner conflict in him too.
That's right. Yeah. And no, it's So there was that with that part with that, and with others, not spoilerous stuff, but
it's obviously seeing his mum go from being reluctant to support him in fighting, but then realizing it's who he is.
Well, before that, because they visit, obviously he goes to visit Victor. He does, and with Han, because Han comes from Beijing to New York, as you would see in the trailer, but he comes to help him and he says, well, we help friends, so we'll find a way to help you out, Victor. So he enters Lee into the competition when Lee's like, he doesn't want to.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he doesn't want to disappoint his mother.
And this is obviously with the lure of winning a cash prize, which would change all their lives.
Did they say how much the money was?
I think it was, I don't know if it was $1 million or...
Was it a million or 100,000 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
It wasn't really touched on.
Yeah, you know, I didn't really pay attention to the money price. Just know that they said it would change their lives.
It would change lives, yeah.
And save the pizza shop.
That's right. And coming up to the tournament part.
Yeah.
I felt the tournament part was really well done. It didn't feel like it was the same. It wasn't the same day.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously, it was probably over a span of days over different locations throughout New York. And because Lee was afraid that Connor would know how to react to his moves because they'd had an altercation at school.
Yep.
And he'd used a move that he'd learned from his brother. Yep. And Connor hit him. And got him.
Yep.
Yeah, he counted it. So in saying that, in when he's in the actual tournament with Connor, he learns to counter it.
Which is the funniest.
Yeah, exactly. And to go low.
Yep. But with that training of that point, I thought was the funniest bit.
100%.
It was really funny because he's there. Han and Daniel try to train him to duck low after he comes up out of a high kick into a low slide.
Yeah.
They train him at a subway.
Yeah, that's right.
He has to go under the turntables. And when he tries the first time, he smashes his head into the turntable. And you feel like...
you feel every, knockout. It's like,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And you gotta laugh the little comedic parts where, like, the subway workers, like you're standing there going, are we going to be here long?
Yeah.
No.
It was funny. Like, those parts were really the greatest.
Yeah.
But going into it, but again, with the ending fight against Connor. And Lee, do you think it was a good payout, big payoff? Did you feel it was really cool?
I think it was good because obviously Lee and Mia made up. And, when they go to visit Victor in the hospital and he's like saying, hey, you saved my life. I owe you, bud. And then like when they come to support him at the tournament and then he ends up winning, defeating Connor. I mean, obviously at first you think, oh, maybe, this is going to go either way. But then when he gets to the point where he beats him, but then he's overcome with emotion and then they call out to him and it's kind of like he makes it very well known that this is it.
Yeah.
And because he almost loses control because he's beaten that fear.
Yeah.
And that anger kind of took over, but he kind of remembered that he had to find that inner peace in himself as well.
Yeah.
And then, so the fact that in the end they won, they were able to,
And he earned Connor's respect too.
He did.
Yeah.
And which again, kind of happens in all the Karate Kid movies.
That's right. They do touch. It's the same. It does have that same Karate Kid feel with the end where it's a one move finisher.
Yeah.
And before the full ending, the setup of the tournament, I thought was very well done because again, they come in with that overall explaining the rules.
Yeah.
So how they do the art form of like illustration and explaining the rules. And I'm like, that's really well done. And how when they do a hit, they kind of freeze frame and shows you how they earned a point. I'm like, that's really cool. That helps the audience tell what's happening.
And it made it interesting because it made you care about it.
Yes.
And because obviously it was in different locations as well.
And with also obviously Lee being the victor in that, this movie, I feel like, was the whole message of this movie was this is a passed down. It's a continuation to a new era.
Yeah.
So this is basically Ralph Macchio's send off.
Yeah. I don't believe there's going to be anything else with Cobra Kai, Karate Kid. I think this is a way to pass the baton.
Yes. So it does it very well because Daniel LaRusso does do that in the film. He does pass down his headband. To Lee.
Yeah.
And say he's looking forward to the new generation
of
taking over the Miyagi-Do karate.
Yeah.
And so which kind of leaves it open-ended? Is there going to be more or what are we going to see?
Well, that's it. I mean, there's opportunity there. But what's comical in the end was obviously after he's won, seeing the success that's befell them, where they've now opened up a second pizza shop.
That's right.
And obviously Victor's successful and has recovered. And the fact that Daniel's gone back to California, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And, he sends him a pizza with a photo.
Yep.
And basically saying, you owe me this much money for a tip. And I thought that was funny.
Going from New York to California, the pizza is really expensive. Yeah.
And then we see Johnny Lawrence.
Yes.
Who has become Daniel's friend in the series. And from long-running adversaries to friends. And he talks about opening a pizza shop in California.
And they want to call it the
Miyagi-Do.
Which is really funny. And that was a good little Easter egg and good little cameo. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And, but with it being called the Karate Kid, the Karate Kid, but being called Karate Kid Legends, would you have liked to see, would have liked to have seen Jaden Smith and Hilary Swank?
Well, I would have liked to have seen if a positive story had come out of Jaden Smith's story. And obviously, you know, Hilary Swank being an Oscar winner and all, like, you know, like she probably, I don't know, may not have expressed interest in it. But
maybe
her character, though, I mean, there could have been a mention. There could have been something.
What would have been really cool, I think, if they would have tied that in with the ending with Johnny, is if, let's say, Hilary Swank, Julie, she delivered the pizza to Daniel, not being the delivery person, but being, hey, this was accidentally dropped off at my door.
Oh, yeah, that would have been interesting, too.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
And then she would have maybe seen a photo of Mr. Miyagi on the wall and said, and maybe, I mean, it was maybe like 2 to 3 minutes. She said, how do you know him? And he goes, oh, he trained me. And he goes, oh, he trained me as well. And then you could have cut to black. You didn't have to go on more of that. Yeah. That would have been a cool little nod.
It would have been.
Like, as we said, this is a bit of a send-off from Mr. Miyagi. Obviously, Pat Morita, he passed away, obviously.
Yes.
So this is a good nod from him to end his story and also to end Daniel's story.
Exactly. Yes.
So, which is a shame. Well, when maybe in the second one, they might see you might see Daniel and Johnny. I would like it if they did open a pizza shop.
That'd be funny.
That would be funny. That would be hilarious. So we'll see if they do another one or not.
And so it was quite fun.
If they don't make another one, it's fine, because this one is really, really well done. So, well, that's the end of the spoilers. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I was quite happy with it. And it was well done.
Would you consider this a must-see, or would you rather wait?
I think for any Karate Kid fan, get out there and watch it.
Yes.
And obviously it'll be on streaming soon as well. But yeah, like, I think any movie fan would enjoy this. It's definitely worth your time.
I mean, there's not many movies that are coming out with any martial art movies as of late. So I feel like this has that itch that some people might have.
That's right.
Yeah. Well said. I do believe, yes, if you're a big fan, go see it. If not, you can wait.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like, this is really good for everyone. All right. And with that being said, mate, as again, thank you so much for making it this far. And, let us know your thoughts as before.
Yeah, please leave a like, a comment. Tell us if you're going to see this or if you're going to see anything. Please give us your thoughts.
Until then, we'll
see you in the next one.